Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. We have another opportunity to share a word with the Lord. Amen. It is a blessing just to be able to say that we're in the land of the living. There's so many things going on, amen, around us. So we're losing so many within our families, friends, and so on and so forth. And we have to continue to keep each other in prayer, amen. If there's a time that we need to stay in prayer, it is So we'd like to thank you for tuning in once again and sharing this hour. We are on Blog Talk Radio. For those of you who are listening, you can call in 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054, and you can participate in case you have a question when the speaker opens up the mic. Amen. Also, for your time and your patience, amen. As you hear a word from the Lord, call someone and let them know that we're in Long Island, New York, Huntington, Long Island, New York, with the dynamic speaker, Pastor Dawn Nixon. Amen. You've heard her time and time again, and the Lord is always blessing her with a word from the Lord. So telephone, tell a friend, amen, to share this word, amen, if you want to be a blessing to someone else. And as we move forward, we'd like to thank you just for another day. We'd like to also ask that you keep those who have been sick, those who have lost, please keep them in prayer. Amen. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. Amen. So we have to constantly be praying for one another, as well as loved ones and those who lost, who have lost loved ones. Amen. We'd like to let you know that those we've lost members in our family. I know you've lost members in your family. Amen. In Detroit, Michigan, Sister Tanya Moore, we just lost her. Another sister, Mother Gloria, on the sick list. There are so many names, amen, that we can call out. But God knows our hearts. He knows what we're going through, and that's what we are about, having faith of knowing that God knows how to take care of his own. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen, amen. So we have to be faithful, amen, as we continue our journey, no matter what obstacles, no matter what we're going through. We have to remain faithful to the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. I'm not going to do any more talking right now. We're going to move over into Long Island, New York, and the next voice you hear, the dynamic voice you will hear, will Pastor Dawn Nixon. She's going to share a word of the Lord, and we'd like to thank her each and every time that she comes on and taking her time to spread the gospel. It is a blessing not only to the body of Christ, amen, but we just pray that it is a blessing to her household and ministry, as well as we collectively, as a body, amen, come together, amen, joining together, amen, praying for one another. Pastor Nixon, are you there?
Blessings, everyone. God bless you, Elder Clay, Lady Clay. We thank God for all of you who are on the line. Please invite somebody, as Elder Clay has said, and be a part of this line. I want to talk to my sisters and my brothers on today to encourage them. The Lord always gives me a word of encouragement that we need most of all in this season, in this time. And as Elder Clay was sharing, that there are many who have transitioned. I just want to encourage you, those who it's difficult for us to deal with transition from those who are in our lives. And we hear all kinds of things. They're in a better place. They're doing, you know, God is what God's will. And it is. It's God's will. But we are here, and our purpose is to be with the Lord. So yes, that's why we celebrate. That's why we rejoice, because that means they have emptied out themselves, and they serve. Their purpose has been fulfilled. And so we don't look at death as an ending. We look at death as a beginning, because to be absent from this body means that we are to be present with the Lord. And isn't that what we want? Have we got to the point where we've gotten so attached to material things that we don't realize to be with God is better than to be on earth? Because we've been sharing all this. This world is not my home. It's not my home. And so I want to talk to you today about you're living your purpose. You're living your purpose. And there are many of you who are on this line that may not feel that you're living in your purpose. You may feel like you're not going anywhere with your life, especially when things have just turned upside down and it looks like you are not able to pursue the things that you are supposed to do in life. But I beg to differ. I know that God has already set up what we're supposed to do in our life. And so we've got to understand that there is a reason why things have been halted or things have not been moving or things are shifting in a different direction. And so once we realize that God knows what he's doing and God's in control, the more we can relax in God and do what God says. We're going to go to Genesis, as my mentor says, Genesis 37, which is the genealogy of the Bible. And we are going to share with you what God has to say. So we're going to Genesis 37, and this is a familiar passage of scripture to some. I've been dealing with this at our church because I want our people to walk in their purpose. And the series that I'm doing with them is called Making Your Dreams. You're making your dreams come true. You're making your dreams come true. All right? And so we want to share with you on today, you are fulfilling your purpose. And it does not matter age. God does not deal with age. He deals with purpose. He does not deal with time. He deals with purpose. And so your timing is not the same as God's timing. And please know, when you think you're running out of time, God says you just started in time. So we've got to really, really understand that God is in control of all things. So if we would go to Genesis, the 37th chapter, we just have a word of prayer. Father, now God, we thank you on tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to glean from your word. We thank you for the audience that is before us. And we pray, God, today yes. that you say something that will be life-changing to those who are the hearers of the word, that we would then become doers of what we have heard. We pray, Almighty yes. God, today that you'll alter and change the thinking and the mindset of people so that they'll understand that you are in total and complete control. So, God, we thank you now for all that you're about to do. Before we ask you for anything, we thank you for everything. God, we thank you for our uprising. We thank you for our downfalls. We thank you for the open opportunities. We thank you for the failures. We thank you, oh God, for trials, tribulations, and all the things you brought us through, because we yes. know this is a through place. And so we pray today, as I'm praying, I pray, God, for someone who's listening today who's about to give up, for that one who feels like they're hanging over the abyss of hell by a cobweb. God, you're a God who will rescue them where they are. In Jesus' mighty yes. name, we are praying, amen and amen. We're going to Genesis 37. We're going to be reading out of the NIV. I'm going to start at verse 1. I'm going to start at verse 1. The word of the Lord reads, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flock with his brothers, the son of Bilhah, and the sons of Zilpha, at his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made an ornament of robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were blind, binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaves rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brothers said to them, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. And when he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him. But his father kept the matter in mind. Verse 12, now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brother is grazing. Your brothers are grazing flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them." "Very well," he replied. So he said to him, "Go and all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring back to me." Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I am looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?" "And they have moved on from here." Then the man answered, "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" And Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. But they saw him in the distance. I'm getting ready to go here. They saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him, throw him into one of these cisterns, and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. And then we'll see what comes of his dream." And Reuben heard this, and he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing. And they took him and threw him in the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water. They sat down to eat their meal. They looked and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Galilee. Their camels and loaded with spices, balms, myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay a hand on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. I'm going to deal with this right now, and I'm going to go a little further in this particular text. I want to share something with you because a lot of times we think that we've got our lives all planned out. We already know what God's going to do for us. But many of us are living in our purpose, and we don't even know it. We don't even know that all the things that are taking place are pieces of puzzles that God has. And as we are living our day-to-day life, those pieces are being put together. And the only time that we struggle and have a hard time is when we go against the plan of God, because we try to put pieces of our, what I've come to an understanding is that God has already set up our lives for us. He's already planned our lives for us. It is our job now that we are here, and when we connect with God and we say, "God, I give my life over to you," he plans our life. He is He puts the picture of the puzzle together. Our job is to fulfill the puzzle. Our job is to fulfill the plan that God has already set up for us. Well, somebody said, "Well, God, you never sat down with me and told me what the plan was. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do or how I'm going to do it." God, you know, there's some people who need a whole script of how things are supposed to go. I need to see the total blueprint of what God is going to do. And say, God said, sometimes I don't work like that. Sometimes I'll show you might be looking forward to, but I just need you to just keep moving forward in what I tell you to do. And sometimes we can get so busy in trying to figure out what God's going to do, how God's going to do it, when is he going to do it. It is not my business what God does, how he does it, how he structured it. My job is to go out and fulfill the word that he's purposed for my life. How do I do that? God gives instructions. He's just like a GPS. Turn left, turn right, keep going straight. Go about 25 miles before you make it that turn off on the exit. God lets you know as you're in movement and in motion. Why? Because if he tells you and lets you know what's going on ahead of you, you want to try to alter and try to move things out of your, well, this is a shortcut if we go this way. And sometimes on my GPS, they'll say a faster route is in play. Would you like to take that? And I can press that button, and it'll shift everything for me to go into that faster route. But we've got to make sure that we stay on the plan that God has already set for us and the purpose that he has for us. Now, I know that sometimes we think we know a little bit more than God because we look at our lives and we say, I know me. I know what I'm going to do. I know how I'm going to do it. I know what I'm going to say. I know what people, how people are, what they're going to do. We don't know what's going to take place further down the road. I am learning to let God unfold those things in my life one moment at a time. And when I relax and I stop trying to fix it for God, because when we try to fix things for God, Elder Clay, what I've learned is that when we try to fix things for God, we cause resistance to happen. And when we cause resistance to happen in our lives, it holds up process. And we keep pleading the blood. We keep rebuking the devil. And the thing is, you just need to let go and let God. It's simple as that.
Amen.
Let go, let God. You know, sharing with someone today because my sister had gone through cancer and she's the type of person who just will take lemons and make lemonade out of it. And the initial sharing of it, because I was on the phone with my sister when the diagnosis came. One of the hardest things is to hear someone that you're so close to, that you love so much, that they're going to have to go through this process. And you want so bad to do the phone call over or have that moment over again so you can get a different result. But I found myself in a place where there was nothing I could do. That I couldn't fix it. I couldn't change the diagnosis. I couldn't change the results of what was going on. All I had, I could do was in the place was trust God, not resist him, and make sure I follow through with whatever God said. God, just tell me what my part is in making sure that she can get to her purpose. And I'm thanking God that God allowed her to get to her purpose. This young lady has made a complete recovery and still having
praise
challenges,
God.
But she took a situation that no one expected to happen in her life, and it was the purpose of her life so that she can be where she is right now to tell her story to someone else. You got to understand that these feelings and these troubles and these pains that you go through are there for a reason. You got to understand, people of God, you cannot have purpose without pain. It's just not that easy.
Yes.
You're going to deal with some pain as you go through your purpose. Why? Because your pain is what motivates you. It's what pushes you into your destiny of what I need to do. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to let the devil win. My God, if somebody in there, out here is like me, I can show them better than I can tell them. It motivates me the more. The Bible says, let's look at the story of Jacob. Of Joseph, I'm sorry. When I'm looking at Joseph, the Bible says the biblical account of Joseph's life was based on two dreams. He had two dreams. And those dreams came from God.
yes.
about his future. It's bad enough when you have to deal with people who don't think kindly of you anyway. Bible says that they did not like their brother. They hated him because their father loved him more, or he was the favorite. And it was obviously known. But the thing was, is that you hating me because of how somebody else feels about me. And not only that, but you're hating me that I have no control over. It's just like some folk who are anointed by God. God is using them in a mighty way, and God uses them over and over again. It seems as if life is easy for them when it really isn't. But to the outside individual looking on, it looks like their life is just fulfilled with so much purpose, and they're doing all the stuff that somebody else may want to do. You cannot apologize, people of God. Do not apologize or dummy down for the anointing that's on your life. Why? I say that because your life and your anointing did not come without pain. Because anybody who is dealing with the anointing of God or the oil of God on their life, they had to pay a significant price for it. A significant price. And the more oil and the more anointing and the greater the anointing, it seems like the greater pain. Mm. And so we're looking at Joseph. Joseph is just trying to live his own life. The Bible says that his father gave him a coat of many colors. The Bible says that he began to have dreams. And when he started telling his dreams, who else can I tell it to? The Bible doesn't talk about Joseph having a friend. You know, when you grow up, your first friends are your siblings. So he goes to his brothers and he tells them about this dream. And the Bible says when he told them about the dream, they hated him even the more. Wait a minute. I didn't tell you, I didn't show you the dream or the manifestation of the dream has not been fulfilled. You're hating me because of what I said or what I fell asleep and got up the next morning and I shared it with you. You're hating me for what I think or what I've seen. You know why people hate you? When you tell them those dreams and those things that are coming at us, because they know the manifestation of it is very possible of coming true. And the thing about it is that people don't understand that these are the things that are just fulfilling. I'm just talking. That's all I'm doing. I'm just telling you what I had, what I saw. And now you're getting mad. The Bible says he has another dream. This time his father is a part of the conversation. And the Bible says that when his father heard it, he got a little, you know, taken back. He says, are you trying to tell me that me and your mother are going to bow down to you? But the Bible says, but he kept all those things in mind. See, you've got to understand, when you have a parent really, really looking into your life and over your life, and discovering over your life, and they know the potential or the purpose or the oil on your life, they keep those things in mind because they have to understand that sometimes, you've got to understand that sometimes those things, when you know that the anointing of God is on a child's life, you watch and you can see that oil on their life as they grow up. So the Bible says that his father said to him, go and look and find your brothers, find out where they are as they are with the flock grazing. The Bible says as he was coming, he was looking for his brothers, and a man said that they were going to Dothan. And as he was on his way to Dothan, the Bible says they saw him. Watch this. They don't address him by his name. They address him by his purpose. Good God from Zion. They address him by his purpose because they said, here comes that dreamer. My God in heaven. You're mad at me, not because of who I am, but what you are afraid that I'm going to become. See, sometimes you got to understand, people ain't mad at you because of where you are. They're mad at where you're going. Because the thing is, they believe where you're going more sometimes than you.
Than you yourself.
They know you have the potential to go somewhere, and you got purpose that's about to be fulfilled.
in your life. They got enough faith to believe that you're going to, I got so much faith, they said. They got so much faith that they know that Joseph's dreams are going to be fulfilled. They address him by his purpose and say, here comes that dreamer. And then the Bible says they plot to kill him. Because they don't want the manifestation of his purpose to come forth. My God in heaven. The Bible says, as he drew near, they were making a decision. What should we do? What should we do? And the Bible says, Reuben says, okay, let's not kill him. We don't want our brother's blood on our hands. With the mindset that, you know what, I'm going to let my brothers get away with this. I'm the older brother. I'm going to be, because what the older brother knew was, if anything happened to Joseph, he was going to be the first one to be blamed for it. He says, let's just put him in the cistern, and let's just put him in this well, and leave him there, and let him just die there, knowing that he was going to come back and get him. Reuben goes off, and all of a sudden, now here's Judah, here's praise. See, you got to understand, praise, here is Judah. He says, let us not kill our brother. Let's sell him, and we don't have to worry about the blood on our hand, and we can make a profit off of it. My God in heaven. Oh, my God. See, the thing is, y'all say to yourselves, well, that's cool. Your brother's going to sell you into slavery? That's better than killing me, because if you kill me, I can't fulfill my purpose. Watch this. God, watch. Can you see how Joseph is going from one step to the next step to the next step, and God, even though he's going through a trial and tribulation, even though his brothers are about to sell him into slavery, they're making sure that he stays alive. God is making sure that he's staying alive to fulfill the purpose of his life, because I cannot manifest the purpose over your life if you're dead. So the Bible says they sell him. And you know how he goes and he ends up going to Potiphar's house. Amen? He goes to Potiphar's house. Let's get there. Bible says, and then to verse 28. So when the merchants, Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the cistern to look and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, the boy isn't there. Where can I turn now? Because Reuben already knows I'm in trouble. I'm the one that's going to get it. The Bible says in verse 31, then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in blood. They took the ornate robe back to their father and said, we found this, examine it to see whether it is your son's robe. My God, not our brother, but is this your son? He recognized it and said, it's my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on a sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. No, he said, I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave. So the father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph into Egypt, one of Potiphar's officials, the captains of the guard. Hallelujah. So we've got to understand now, here he is sold. He's been let down into a pit. Now he's being sold to Potiphar. And we know how the story goes. I don't have enough time to tell everybody all this is going on, to read all of it. But we know that when he gets to Potiphar's house, Potiphar allows him to become over everything in his house. He said, you can touch everything in this house except my wife. And so, of course, here is his wife who wants to be with Joseph, said, I cannot. And he decides that he wants to leave, and he wants to flee from danger, because he knows what will happen if he indulges with the wife of Potiphar. So the Bible says, now he rips off his garment and then claims that he raped her. See, you got to understand, I may leave my coat, but I don't leave my anointing. Everything that God placed in me, it goes with me. So he loses his coat of many colors. Now he loses his garment with Potiphar's wife, and he finds himself, calls his wife, says to her husband, he tried to rape me. Now he finds himself in a prison. Now, none of this time do you hear Joseph complaining. He just goes from one place to the next place to the next place. This started mm-hmm. when he was 17 years old, and mm-hmm. he's still going forward. He is, all of these things are in play of his purpose. It don't look like it's, listen, he goes up and down. He goes from promotion. His father loves him, gives him a coat of many colors. Then he turns around, he gets let down into a cistern. He gets into Potiphar's house, he's sold into slavery. And then now he finds himself doing very well in Potiphar's house. And now he's let down again because now he's in a prison. My God, he tells a dream, my God. He tells a dream of a baker and I forgot the other one. He tells the dream of these two men in the jail. And when he tells the dream, one is beheaded and one is lifted back into the kingdom and into the king's house. So we got to understand. And then after all of that, he's forgotten for another many years. See, you think that when God says that I'm going to allow people to bow before you and you're going to be promoted and you're going to have these things, we think when we hear it, it's supposed to happen tomorrow. But you've got to fulfill those purposes that God has in your life. It just don't happen overnight. It takes some time to get where you have to go. And so sometimes we've got to enjoy the ride even when it's not enjoyable. We've got to make sure that we go through what God wants us to go through before we have to get to those places. What you've got to understand is all these things that God is doing is allowing Joseph to be in on-the-job training.
Yes.
Because with each thing that he did, it built his credibility. It built his knowledge. It helped him know what he needed to do. He had to be in Potiphar's house in order for him to be able to fulfill the things in Pharaoh's house. Because mm-hmm. you want to fulfill the purpose of being in a job making six figures without having the knowledge of being a person who can fulfill those six figures. So God puts those things, he puts us on training ground. And sometimes we fall, sometimes we slip up, sometimes we're let down, sometimes we feel like a failure, sometimes we look like it just seems like nothing is going to happen right in our life. Yet and still, when we go through all those things, it's all a part of the plan. You can't give up, you can't let go, you got to make sure that whatever God does, he does it because and you got to put it in his hands. You got to trust God in all things. Somebody said,
amen.
Pastor, I'm having a hard time with this one, because what you've got to understand, those things are not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
If it was that easy, then all of us would be in a place where we don't have to worry about it. But some things make you appreciate those things
mm-hmm.
in your life. Some
amen.
Things make you understand that I had to go through this. My God, and when we recognize the glory of God, of him getting us through it, my God, oh,
yeah,
my God,
yeah.
The thing about the excitement, have you ever been through something that was so devastating, and then all of us on the side of the devastation, you saw God's glory that outweighed the devastation? My God, oh, my God, he went from being in a sister into slavery, into Potiphar's house, into prison, dealing with the cupbearer and the baker. And now he goes and he's put into one of the highest offices in that area and in that kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about
mm-hmm.
it is, and I'm trying to do all of this because I can't do a part two. But can I tell you the thing about this? We've got to be careful, people of God, whose dreams we're trying to kill.
Mm.
Because you're going to have dream killers all around you because they don't want to see you prosper. But what they don't understand is that their lives are sometimes attached to your dreams. My God in heaven. You got to understand that there are some things. See, his brothers and his father and them did not understand that the blessing was not just the blessing, was for all of them. Because if you read in the chapters later, you'll find out that Joseph, when he became just a little lower than Pharaoh, he said, you're going to have control over everything. Everything. He said, the only thing that I will be higher than you is in name only. He said, because of the dream that you had and you fulfilling those things, I went to all the different ones and they couldn't tell me what these dreams meant. He said, but you told me what those dreams are, and I'm going to give you a place in my kingdom in the highest office that you can. Watch this. The Bible says, my God, I got to get out of here. The Bible says that when his brothers didn't even recognize him. Can I tell you, there's going to be a point in life where people are not going to even recognize you because they're going to only remember you from the time that you were out there in the field, out there feeding the flock. They're going to remember you when they let you down in the sister. They're going to remember you, hallelujah, when they put you and sold you into slavery. And they don't know where you went from then. But can I tell you that God will allow your genes to be fulfilled so much to the point that they won't even recognize you. All they're going to see is the glory of God over you. And they're going to have to bow down and bend down to the anointing of God that is over your life. My God, watch this. The Bible says that as they got further into it, the Bible says the famine came. And when the famine hit, my God, and his brothers came. You know, and I'm looking at Joseph. Joseph is a trickster. You know, he tries to get his brothers. He says, you know, I'm going to have a little fun with them. He says, but I love my brothers so much. Watch this. I could have killed them because of what they did to me. See, you got to understand, when you're anointed by God, you can't hold grudges over the lives of the people that are attached to you because those things are part of the purpose of your life. Your purpose is sometimes connected to somebody else's purpose so that they can be fulfilled. The Bible says, I've got to get out of here because I want to open it up for you guys. Listen, the Bible says that after all of that stuff was done, his father, his family, all of them came. I think it was over 70-some of them that came from his father's house. And the Bible says that Pharaoh gave them placement in the kingdom. And the Bible says that Pharaoh made his brothers over his flock, and they gave them promotion in the kingdom of God. If they would have killed Joseph, they would have killed their own destiny. You've got to understand. Yeah. You've got to survive because you're connected to somebody else's destiny. You cannot give up because you're connected to somebody's destiny. I come to let you know on today, you are fulfilling the purpose of your life. You are living out your purpose. Listen, don't give up, people of God. Don't give in. Don't throw in no towels. You got to realize that you're going to have to get let down. You're going to have to feel like a failure. You're going to have to go through some pain because pain motivates your purpose. When your purpose is fulfilled, that means I'm bringing everybody with me. Watch this. I'm not going to be a crab in the barrel. If you lift me up, I'm going to reach back and I'm going to pull you up because that is the purpose that God has for each and every one that is assigned to your life. I'm going to open up, just open up the lines and y'all just come in and share with me and know that you are fulfilling the purpose over your life. You are living out your purpose. I don't want you to give up. I don't care how many people fall on your right, how many people fall on your left. As long as God gives you breath in your body, you are fulfilling the purpose over your life. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. You're fulfilling your purpose, people of God. You got so much, You got so much in you. Some of you saying, I don't have nothing else to live for. This ain't worth staying here. No, you got everything to live. You got to fulfill, get all the stuff that God put in you, all the anointing, all the purpose, all the dreams, all the things that he put in you. You got to get yourself to the point where you're emptied out and your work is done.
Yes.
For the good fight.
Yeah.
You finish the course. Your work is done. My God. And when my work is done, it's time to pass the baton to somebody else to fulfill their purpose. Amen?
Mm.
My God in heaven.
Mm.
You just here to pass the baton, people of God.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Anybody have any questions? Anybody want to say anything? And I know this is a familiar passage of scripture, but God always has a way of reopening up something for us to understand that when we walk this walk, we've got to understand I'm fulfilling the purpose, not only my purpose, but I'm fulfilling
yes.
the purpose for everybody that's assigned to my life. Watch this. And then you're fulfilling the purpose for everybody who's assigned to their life. What if you give up? God's not going to go against your will. See, sometimes that's what took so long for us to get to the destiny. It wasn't God holding you up. No, it wasn't Satan trying to block you. What it was is that we delayed ourselves. God said, I've already given you what you have to do. You just got to fulfill it. And God's sitting there waiting for us to move. Because I don't know if I have it. See, we've got to deal with getting rid of some of those insecurities. Stop worrying about what people are saying. Stop worrying about people laughing at you. You're not going to be able to do it. There's so many things that I feel that I'm incapable of doing. But as I get older and I'm learning, I'm trusting in God because I know it is God that's allowing me to do it and no goodness of my own because I'm not that smart. I'm not that strong. I don't have that understanding.
Yes.
I know it's nothing but the will and the purpose of God for my life. And so when you've got to understand that when people get mad, when people get upset, when people want to kill your dreams, they're trying to kill your purpose, but I can't give up.
Yes.
You never see where Joseph gives up. Joseph just stays in movement. He just keeps moving. You never hear the dialogue between him and his brothers. You never hear, and Joseph said to his brothers. He just went with the will.
Yes, yes.
This is not what I want. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to be in jail. I don't want to go through that. But there's something that you're going to go through in your life that is going to help you get to your destiny. It catapults you into your destiny. It catapults you right into your purpose. I pray and I believe God for you on this line. I just want somebody to touch themselves and say, hey, I've got purpose. I know I've got purpose.
That's
I'm not ready to give up now. I don't care what the season is. I don't care what we're going through. I don't care about these vaccines. I don't care about all of the stuff that's going on. I've got to fulfill my purpose until I'm empty. My God in heaven.
Yeah.
Fill me up, God, till I overflow. I want to run over, and then when I want to run over, I want to run out until my work is done.
Amen.
I don't want to leave here without fulfilling my purpose. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Good evening, all. Hallelujah. How you doing tonight?
Bless.
Good evening, Pastor.
God bless you, Pastor.
How's everybody? Sis, preach. I'm going to tell it to you how they say it straight, no chasing. What pill you taking? For somebody to come with a strong word like that and the anointing that's on you, what pill you taking? Let me, can I buy that? That was a good word on tonight, especially when you turn around and you said to the fact that Joseph just kept moving. Even when you touched on the wine dipper, the wine taster, and the baker, he kept moving even when he had to sit still in the dungeon because something I always say, and I say it to Brother Moderator all the time, as long as things are well with you, remember me. And Joseph said that to them. So as long as things are well with me, I'm going to check on you. Even though he couldn't go nowhere, he still was moving by the words that he spoke.
That's
powerful.
Awesome.
Word on you.
Yes.
Oh, very powerful.
Very good. Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the thing. If you look at the story, everything that came in Joseph's life was to block him. But God always found a way of escape because God said, "I've already purposed your life, Joseph." And it started. This all started with two dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Started with two dreams and some anger. Those things pushed his dreams right into manifestation.
Yes.
Listen, the enemy knows. The enemy knows I can't kill you. All I can do is block you. All I can do is be on the defense. I cannot kill you. Just like he told Job. He said, listen, you can touch everything around him. You can touch his body. You can touch his family. But you can't touch his soul. He said to Job, he said to God, he said, if you take that head from around him, I can make him curse you to your face. God never said he'd never put a hedge of protection around him. He said, okay, don't touch his soul. That's why I'm saying to you, people of God, you've got a hedge of protection around you.
Yes.
And even when God lifts the hedge, he's still protecting you.
Still protecting.
Because he knows what you're capable of doing. He knows you ain't going to deny him. He knows you're not going to give up on him. You're going to keep on fighting until the day is done.
Yeah, and you also said something that just dropped in my spirit. Every time he came up against a problem, the Lord always had a way of escape for him.
Always.
Always had a way of escape for him.
And the reason why he had that was he already knew the plan for his life. This is what I'm trying to tell the people of God. God already knows.
He knows
what the enemy is going to try to do. But can I tell you, he's already way into your future, and he blocked it way before your existence. Way before Joseph had a dream, God already saw. He already saw his brothers. He already saw part of his wife. He already saw all those things that were going to take place. He already saw that he was going to be in prison. But he also saw the purpose, and he just gave you a glimpse of the glory so you can fulfill the purpose. So when the block would come, he knew that you would do something on offense and say, okay, I know I'm getting ready to do some defense of my own, because I know God is going to take the defense mechanism out of my enemy so I can fulfill my purpose. I'm just fulfilling what God has already ordained. That's all you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you're hooking up with the will of God and say, God, I trust you, and you're walking hand in hand. That's why he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Because you got to fulfill your purpose, and you can't fulfill it without me. He ain't going nowhere. He's right there. Because purpose has to be there. You're living it out. You're living it out. Just walk. Can I tell you, all you got to do is spiritually put one foot in front of the other.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
I'm done. God bless you.
Amen. Any other comments?
I thought it was a very mighty word, especially when it comes to talking about Joseph and not holding grudges. He had every reason to hold a grudge, and he didn't. But those grudges actually go against God's word and against God's way. You can't possibly spread the gospel, be a leader, and hold a grudge against people. Sometimes you have to forgive, and in some situations you have to simply avoid that person if they're going to have that adverse effect on you. But we're often faced with some very serious challenges we can do nothing about. God knows what he's doing, and we have to respect that and constantly reexamine ourselves so that we are able to move forward and not grow weary and do what is not the correct thing.
Amen. Any other comments? Mics are open. Any other comments as we wait for you? Amen. All I can say is hallelujah, hallelujah. What a word. What a word. For those of you who are listening by internet, we pray that you have been blessed by this word. And you just keep in mind that as Pastor has just said, you know, those haters out there, they cannot hurt you. If God has a plan in your life, they're hurting themselves. So just please understand that, amen, we get caught up in peer pressure and wanting to be liked all the time. But there are going to be haters out there because they see the gift or the anointing that you have on you. And you have to be reminded, amen, that we are children of God, amen. So just keep moving forward, whatever you do. Don't give up, okay? Don't become too depressed because of what you may be going through because you're coming out, amen. What a mighty word, what a mighty word, amen. Pastor, all I can say is, you know, that each and every time that you come on, you're always a blessing, and you have a word that will make the body of Christ think, amen. You know, there's always a word to make us think because we're going to be challenged wherever we go, amen. Whatever we do, we're going to be challenged, and that's what amen. We are. We encourage speaking life into one another, amen, because somebody out there may just be, you know, having dark desires, you know, because of what they may be going through. So that is a blessing, you know, to whoever's out there and may be going through some challenges, family, friends, whatever the case. It might even just be a marriage, you know, that you may be going through. I just pray that you would just hear this word. Listen to it again, amen. Let it just, you know, soak and saturate into your spirit, you know, so God that can continue to move you forward or whatever you may be going through. Amen. This word is just for you. Amen. Pastor, if you would like to just close out in prayer, amen, as we get ready to close. And thank you so much again.
God bless you. God bless each and every one. I pray all of you will enjoy your Thanksgiving season. There's so much that we can be thankful for and that we are thankful for. And just let God know that I'm giving back to you everything in this season right now, what you've blessed with me. And we don't take it for granted for anything that you've done for us. We're grateful people. And we're grateful for what you've done, God. We are turning our faces to the wall, and we are humbling ourselves and praying before you, hallelujah, and seeking his face. Our Father and our God, we turn to preach the word and teach the word to your people. We pray, Almighty God, today that somebody grasp hold to something that help them get to say, I'm going to run on and see what the end is going to be. And so I pray, Almighty God, that no one will be stopped, blocked, out of their progress, oh God. We pray, Almighty God, that we will all go and fulfill our purpose in our lives. God, not only that, because when we fulfill our purpose, we realize that somebody's attached to us. Somebody's hooked up to us as we are hooked up to you. And God, we're going to continue to have this mind that is in Christ Jesus will also be within us. God, let us have the heart. God, give us the desire for our heart. So, God, that we will fulfill our purpose. God, we pray, oh God, for those who have been sick, those who are on the prayer list, God, those who have transitioned. We pray for their families. We pray for those who are going through right God, now, God.
Yes.
We know that, God, you are a healer, but we know most of all,
hallelujah.
God, that when we are absent from this body, we are present with you, and we are going to rejoice around your throne, oh God, and we're going to celebrate each life, oh God, that has died in you, oh God. So we pray today, oh God, that you continue to touch the hearts of the people. God, we ask that you mend the broken hearts today in the name of Jesus.
For
as they're around
the
Thanksgiving table, those family members that are missing, oh God, we ask God, come into the room and comfort to them right there, right then, God. Hallelujah. The cards have stopped. The calls have stopped. We pray, oh God, that you continue for the tears that fall. We pray that you will lift their head, for you are the lifter of our head. And we know that we are going to fulfill our purpose even from this point on. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, God, for Elder Clay and his lovely wife who have opened this access so that we can speak to the people of God. Continue to put the blessings and allow the blessings over their family. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen and amen. God bless
amen.
All of you.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Please share this with someone. Be a blessing to someone. Amen. Blog Talk Radio. We'll hit it again and again. Amen. Be a blessing.
So